Thank you. Maharaj Arjuna Ashtodara Shatashishma A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai
Jai
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtodara Shatashishma Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai
Jai
Ananta Koti Vaishna Brinda Ki Jai
Jai
Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai
Jai
Samaveta Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees.
All
glories to the assembled devotees.
All
glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Welcome.
I just came from Akron, so that's Akron. Yeah, I went to my wife, she was sick. So can I, my car, I think it's battery is low.
You're missing your phone?
Yeah. Can I get it or?
The battery is low, why get it?
It's a little bit low, I think I didn't charge it last night.
So we'll just chant word for word together. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1 Chapter 1 Text 22 Tvam na sandarshito
tatra
dustaram
nistiti
irshatam
kalim
sattva
haram
pungsam
karna
Sandarshito tatra dushtaram nistitir shatam kalim sattva haram pungsam karnadhara ivarnavam. Tvam, your goodness.
Your goodness.
Unto us.
Sandarshita.
Meeting.
Dhatra.
By providence.
Dustaram.
Insurmountable.
Nistitir shatam.
For those desiring to cross over.
Kalim.
The age of Kali.
Sattvaharam.
That which deteriorates the good qualities. Pungsam.
Of a man.
Karnadhara.
Captain.
Eva.
As.
Arnavam.
The ocean.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada. We think that we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. Purport. The age of Kali is very dangerous for the human being. Human life is simply meant for self-realization, but due to this dangerous age, men have completely forgotten the aim of life. In this age, the lifespan will gradually decrease. People will gradually lose their memory, finer sentiments, strength, and better qualities. A list of the anomalies for this age is given in the 12th canto of this work. And so this age is very difficult for those who want to utilize this life for self-realization. The people are so busy with sense gratification that they completely forget about self-realization. Out of madness, they frankly say that there is no need for self-realization, because they do not realize that this brief life is but a moment on our great journey towards self-realization. The whole system of education is geared to sense gratification And if a learned man thinks it over, he sees that the children of this age are being intentionally sent to the slaughterhouses of so-called education. Learned men, therefore, must be cautious of this age, and if they at all want to cross over the dangerous ocean of Kali, they must follow the footsteps of the sages of Naimisharanya and accept Sri Suta Goswami, or his bona fide representative, as the captain of the ship. The ship is the message of Lord Sri Krishna in the shape of Bhagavad Gita, or the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Savrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Satvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Tarupyascha Kripa Sindhupya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Tungna Sandarshito Dhatra Dustaram Nistitir Shatam Kaling Satvaharam Pungsam Garnadhara Ivarnavam. So, this verse is the second to the final verse of the chapter of the questions by the sages. We've been discussing these questions which the sages have put to the Srila Suta Goswami at Naimisharanya. This is the second speaking of Srimad Bhagavatam. The first was spoken by, does anyone remember?
Suta Goswami.
By who?
By Sukadeva.
Yes, that's correct. Sukadeva Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam the first time. And that was at the bank of the Ganges, when Maharaj Parikshit was sitting down to fast until death. He had been cursed by Shringi that he would die in 7 days by Takshaka, the snake bird. That's a flying snake. He was going to come and kill him in 7 days, so he decided to give up this life in Krishna consciousness. So he sat down to fast until death.
Your light in your car. Yes.
Wow. Turn off your light, doctor. Okay. Your battery will die.
Sorry.
No, that was very kind, very important. So, Hare Krishna. The assembly gathered around Sukadeva Goswami, and one of the sages who assembled there was Suta Goswami, and he heard the Srimad Bhagavatam at that time on the bank of Ganges. So then later, the sages in Naimisharanya desired to perform a big sacrifice a 1,000-year sacrifice to benefit the people of the age of Kali, which was just about to come. And Suddha Goswami was given the position by them to teach them. At sacrifices, it's very important to speak Hari Katha, glorification of the Lord. Yeah, I was wondering what that sound is. I guess it's a leaf blower. So Hari Katha is the, in the age of Kali, that is our Yuga Dharma, Hari Kirtan. So the sages at Naimisharanya decided that Suddha Goswami would be the person to speak to them, because none of them felt qualified. He had heard directly from the lips of his spiritual master, Shukadeva Goswami. We heard about the qualities of Suddha Goswami a few verses ago. Hare Krishna. Welcome back. We heard about his qualities.
Second time he's spoken by whom?
Suddha Goswami. So when Shukadeva Goswami spoke on the bank of the Ganges to Maharaj Parikshit, many sages came. And one of those sages was Suddha Goswami, son of Roma Harshana Suddha. And later, the sages at Naimisharanya wanted to perform a 1,000-year sacrifice for the purpose of Jagadhitam, to benefit all living entities in the age of Kali, which was just about to come. So, because they knew that in Kali Yuga, the Yuga Dharma is Hari Kirtan, they requested Suddha Goswami to speak that same Srimad Bhagavatam, which he had heard from Shukadeva Goswami. And that would make their sacrifice perfect. Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam Sangho Pangashtra Parsharam Yagya Sankirtana Prayayar Yajanti Hi Sumedhaha. In this age of Kali, those who are intelligent will worship the Supreme Lord, who is Krishna, but who is not blackish. He comes with all of his paraphernalia and associates, and he spreads Sankirtan. People with good intelligence will worship him. This verse is coming later in Srimad Bhagavatam, and our acharyas explained that it refers to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
He's not blackish. Golden.
Yes, he's not blackish. It says, Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam. So, Tvisha Krishnam means Tvisha A Krishnam. See, here the wording means that he's Krishna, but he's not Krishna. So, what does that mean? That means that he's the person Krishna, but he's not the color Krishna, because Krishna also means black. So he's not blackish, but he is Krishna. So that's Lord Chaitanya, Gaura Sundar.
It's mentioned way before.
Indirectly. His name is not mentioned. He is secretly mentioned. Channa Avatar. He is covered incarnation. Undercover. What is that? What is his cover? Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi. He's come in the color of Srimati Radharani, which is golden. Radharani is known as Gaurangi. And he has the same golden color. Gaura means golden. And Anga means bodily limbs. So she is Gaurangi. Her bodily limbs are golden. And he is Gauranga. His bodily limbs are golden also. This is male and female version of the same name. Gaurangi, Gauranga. Mahaprabhu is Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He's not blackish, except in one pastime. When Srila Haridas Thakur was chanting, he was threatened by the Muslim government that if he doesn't stop chanting, They're going to kill him by beating him in 22 marketplaces. Publicly. Make an example of him. But he didn't stop, and so they did it. They dragged him from one market to another and beat him. And beat him and beat him. The two bodyguards, I guess, what is the better word? The two thugs who were tasked with beating him to death, they had never beaten anybody more than 3 marketplaces before they died. Some number. I don't remember if it is 3. But they were surprised that Haridas Thakur, he had survived all 22 marketplaces. And they started crying. They said, "Listen to us. Die. Just die. If you don't die, do you know what will happen to us? The Qazi is going to have our head if we don't kill you. So please, die." And very innocently, Haridas Thakur said, "Oh, I didn't realize that you want me to die. Okay." And he passed out, and he went into samadhi. That's the highest stage of perfection in the process of yoga. You've heard this word, samadhi, yeah. Right? So his body, from externally, it didn't appear that he had any life. So they thought, thank God he's dead. Better us than him. Sorry. You know what I mean. Better him than us. And they were deciding, what should we do with him? Should we give him a Qabristan? Qabristan is the Muslim burial tomb. Like Christians have a grave, they also have their grave. It's called Qabristan. Because he was born in a Muslim family. So they thought, should we give him a Muslim funeral? And the Muslim said, no, no, no. You cannot give him a Muslim funeral. He's an apostate. He started chanting the name of Hari, pagan idol. Heathen idol. So don't give him the Muslim burial. And then they said, okay, well, should we burn his body like the Hindus then? And the caste Brahmana Hindus said, no, 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 no. You can't give him a cremation ceremony because he's not a proper Hindu. They were thinking that if you chant the name of the Lord at night time, then the Lord won't be able to sleep. And so it's a great offense to chant the holy name publicly, out loud.
At night time?
At night time, or causing this big commotion by chanting the Lord's name in public. It doesn't honor the sanctity and gravity of the chanting of the Lord's name. Everything should be reserved and performed only in a very respectful mood of Aishwarya Bhava, or the mood of awe and reverence. So they thought that the devotees were speculative sentimentalists.
So talking about the Muslims, probably?
Now we're talking about the Hindus.
Oh, okay, sorry.
The Muslims have already rejected Haridas Thakur because he chanted. Now the Hindus are rejecting Haridas Thakur because he chanted.
Chanted in the evening, at night time?
At night time and also publicly very loud. Both.
Why you are supposed to chant publicly according to that? You're supposed to chant in public, right?
They had a misunderstanding. They thought that you should only worship the Lord in a very subdued, quiet, respectful way. Silently, within your heart, not publicly. Just like in India, so many people say, you should not chant out loud, you should only chant silently. You must have heard this, right?
Yeah.
So many people will say, no, no, my devotion is only within my heart. They're very proud of that. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
So the same objection was being raised in that time. And they made the argument that these people are sentimentalists. These devotees are sentimentalists. You know that word, sentimentalist. What does it mean?
Emotional.
Emotional, irrational. Irrational. So don't give him a cremation. He doesn't deserve it. He's an aparadhi. He's an offender against Hindu dharma. So...
But he's in samadhi, he's not dead, right?
He's not dead, but they all think he's dead because they're all fooled. The bodyguards are fooled, the Muslims are fooled, the Hindus are fooled. But they're all fools. So the two thugs, they just throw Haridas Thakur in the Ganga. And he floats down the river. They go back to the Qazi and report that we killed him. And we put him in the Ganga so that the only person who gets... So that he is fish food. And he doesn't have any benefit in the afterlife. We didn't give him a Muslim burial. We didn't give him a Hindu cremation. We just threw him in the river. Meanwhile, Haridas Thakur, in Samadhi, is floating down the Ganga. And he wakes up. He regains external consciousness when he reaches the shore. And he goes back into the same village of the Qazi and starts chanting again. And the Qazi at first is startled. Is this a ghost or what? He knows this person is dead. How is he here? And then he realizes that this person is a saintly person. And he offers obeisances. The Qazi offers obeisances to Haridas Thakur and apologizes profusely for the offenses he committed to such a saint. Now, much, much later, Mahaprabhu had a festival. And in that festival, he appeared to Haridas Thakur and the other devotees in different ways according to their devotion to him. He manifested different forms and qualities to reciprocate love with these different devotees. And when it came time for him to manifest to Haridas Thakur, he said, Haridas, do you remember when you were beaten in 22 marketplaces? He said, yes, my lord. He didn't feel any pain. It was as if their fists were not even connecting with his body. And the Lord removed his uttari, the top cloth, and showed his back to Haridas Thakur. And it was black and blue because of bruising. Because the Lord had personally covered the body of Haridas Thakur with his own body. And the Lord took all of the blows from these two thugs. You can understand? And everyone was observing. Advaitacharya was there, and all the other devotees were observing this at this Mahaprakash Lila. And the Lord asked, what do you think of this form of mine, which was all bruised and black and blue? And Advaitacharya said, you look like Krishna. Because his form was black and blue. Due to the bruising, he took on a form which was black, blackish. So generally, though, Lord Chaitanya is golden. But that was one exception. And this process of chanting, sankirtan, glorification of the Lord, is glorified throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. The Lord personally, by that pastime, the Lord demonstrated His protection for those who are engaged in this Harinam Sankirtan. Haridas Thakur is Namacharya. So the Lord personally protected Haridas Thakur. And as the example of all future chanters of the holy name, the Lord also protects those now who continue to follow in the footsteps of Haridas Thakur. The Lord protects our consciousness. That's the most important thing. But many times the devotees are also physically protected. But in the age of Kali, as time progresses, Prabhupada writes that the life duration is decreasing. So doctor, you're a medical man, you're trained. Now, in medical school, do they teach you that the age of life of human being is decreasing, or do they say it's increasing?
Well, the life expectancy is highest in the, I think, United States or somewhere I mentioned it's the United States, and it's the lowest in some of the...
Okay, that's fine.
It depends upon...
But what I'm asking is about in time. Say 500 years ago.
Yeah, right.
Do they say that the life expectancy is getting less now or getting more now? Compared to back then.
Back was high, now it's declining.
They say that.
Right.
Is that how they teach you in medical school?
Well,
when I was in school, they taught us that in the medieval times, people's life expectancy was about 30 years.
You're right, during the pregnancy, you managed to die. No, you're right, because of the medical disease, you're right, right.
And nowadays, they're saying that we have increased the life expectancy.
Right. The people managed to die at the age of 20, sometimes most of the women did not
in childbirth. That's their
die.
Yeah, somehow or other.
Yeah.
It's different diseases. They'll claim that we've improved the lifespan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They'll argue that way. But so how do we understand this apparent contradiction? Well, one way to understand it is through a notion called an epicycle. So an epicycle is when you have a cycle which is part of a bigger cycle. So you may have up and down going on, but the general trend is up. Or you may have up and down, but the general trend is down. So that's going on. The life expectancy may be wavering between 30 and 100 years, but overall it's going down. Because in previous ages, people lived for 100,000 years, 10,000 years, 1,000 years. Even in the Bible, you hear about people living 900 years, 700 years. What was that? Methuselah. He was 1,300 years, something like that.
I think even, what, Moses?
Yeah, they were all living. In the Old Testament, they were all living hundreds of years, according to the Bible.
Abraham.
Like that. So the notion in classical traditional societies is in agreement on that point, that people used to live longer. So that is one... meaning, that is one way to resolve this apparent contradiction, that we're looking at a trend which is overall going down, although there may be peaks and valleys. Hmm. So this age is very difficult for those who want to utilize this life for self-realization. Because self-realization is a goal which can be supported by an entire lifestyle. And so what kind of dimensions are there to somebody's lifestyle? You eat a certain way, you talk a certain way, you dress a certain way, right? Lifestyle choices. You have certain types of recreation. What else? What else makes up a lifestyle? Any contributions?
Chemicals you put in your body.
Chemicals you put in your body or don't put in your body. What else? What else makes a lifestyle? Maybe your work, the kind of job you do, or your hobbies.
Your school.
Your school? Yeah. There's a magazine called Cat Fancy. Some people's lifestyle is largely based on cats.
Yeah, my sister.
Yeah. And now, there are even extreme versions of that, like being a cat lady. That's a whole other thing. But all those dimensions of one's lifestyle support a certain goal of life, a certain way to be happy. And in the age of Kali, persons who make self-realization as their goal of life have very few lifestyle options which are supported by mainstream society. Very few. Because the food is largely non-compassionate. The school, Prabhupada writes in the purport here, he sees that the children of this age are being intentionally sent to the slaughterhouses of so-called education. The schools are largely atheistic, atmaha, killers of the soul, and in that sense they're slaughterhouses. The dress is not is licentious, largely, meant to instigate lower propensities, exploitative propensities, animal propensities. The hobbies all these things are leading one away from self-realization. So if one makes self-realization as one's goal, it's a very difficult age. You don't have that social support. That broad, multi-dimensional support. You can follow what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the difficulty in the age of Kali. And it begins at childhood. Now, I don't want to pick on my family, but I remember when I was, and this might just be a cute thing, it might not be such a big deal, but I'm going to try to use it as an example anyway. We used to go to church like a few times a year. Not so often. But it was a Catholic cathedral. And I thought it was really beautiful there. The art, the music, the incense, the dress of the priests, the gestures and whatnot. One time we were in the church, and the priest went like this and started speaking something. This was some ritual that he did every Sunday. And I also went like that. I think I was 7 years old. And my mom was like, just swatted my hands down. Don't do that. But naturally, children like to imitate the spiritual culture. But it's ground out of them by humanism. They said, just you, one more thing. One time they passed around the collection plate to give a donation at the church. They have collection plate instead of a hundi.
Yeah.
And I put a piece of gum in there. My mom's like, what are you doing? said, how do you know the priest doesn't want some gum? I think she let it slide. I think she let the gum go also. She's pretty broad-minded.
Whatever you have, you want.
Yeah. I wonder if the priest chewed the gum. Anyway. The children are trained in these schools that your spiritual life is something private. Don't bring it into school. There's no prayer in school. You're not allowed to do it. You keep that private. You do that on your own time. And one devotee who was speaking recently, I heard a class on this verse, and he said, you keep that for your own time, of which we don't give you any.
Even your homework you have to do after school.
Yeah. School, work, and it continues on after childhood. Throughout the whole life, they don't give you free time. You're supposed to wait until you retire. And if you still, somehow or other, are unstatistically fortunate enough to still have some devotion to God after all of this, in your old age, then that becomes the expectation for pious people, that old age is the time for bhakti. In India, this is a big thing, right? Everyone thinks that old age is when you do bhakti. And youth is when you do something else. The colleges, schools, they're... You can tell what somebody does. You can tell where someone's heart lies with how they use their free time. Because they're not inhibited by any responsibilities. They're free to do what they like. And so in their free time, you can see what they actually like, where their heart is located. And so in the Western countries, we have this notion of... And now it's all over the world. But we have this notion in modern societies, you can say. That's more appropriate. Modern societies of the week and the weekend. Week is called the work week, where you do something you don't want to do, but you have to do. And then the weekend is when you're free, right? You have free time, Saturday, Sunday. And then you can do what you want, finally, a relief. And then that's when you see people watching TV. That's when you see people sleeping. That's when you see them doing what they really like to do. Going to sports and etc. Bars. Then there's the notion of a holiday, which is sort of like a big weekend. They work for so many years and finally they get a holiday or a vacation. So on these colleges, there's something called spring break. Do they have it in India? Is there spring break for college?
Spring break, 1 week, I think they have.
1 week, yeah, 2 weeks, yeah. Like that, you get off for spring break. And I'd like to ask Dr. Tom to explain to Doctor, what is spring break like in America? What happens at spring break?
Hedonism, intoxication.
Sodomy. Wow. Hare Krishna. Well, I mean, I guess we have to be fearless and speak the truth.
A lot of intoxication, a lot of partying.
Yeah.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yes. You understand.
Yeah.
Well, in India also it's going on now. This party culture. That shows where someone's interest actually is. And so that's the age of Kali. We're victims of this dangerous ocean of Kali. And the only way out is to follow the captain of the ship. The human body is a ship. The Vedas are the favorable winds which blow the ship. And the spiritual master is the captain of the ship. We should not misunderstand and think that the spiritual master, he understands the spiritual world, but he doesn't understand how things work in this world, in the real world. Have you ever heard someone say that? That the Vedas, they are very good for understanding the spiritual world, but they don't understand this material world. This is a common objection that people make. And that Guru can help you in your spiritual life, but he doesn't understand material problems because he's beyond all that. Actually, this is a misunderstanding. Because this material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. If one understands reality, one can understand the reflection of reality. Vidyam cha vidyam. What is that? Can you please bring Isha Upanishad? Do we have it here?
What is the Isha Upanishad?
Isha Upanishad.
Up here.
I think we have one there.
Maybe not.
No.
There's one upstairs if you want me to grab it.
Oh, time's too short. It's okay. There's a verse in Isha Upanishad. I should really memorize it because I keep wanting to quote it. That, thank you though, that the one should understand both knowledge and ignorance side by side in order to gain the immortality. Yeah. So that's the spiritual master, the Shastra, fully understands this material world. As I said, it's a reflection. And one of the devotees whose lectures I often listen to, he would frequently say that if you think that the spiritual master does not understand this material world, then you're saying he's less than a dolphin. Dolphins are one of the few animals that can recognize their own reflection in a mirror. Okay. If you put a cat in front of a mirror, it'll think it's another cat. A dog will also think it's another dog. Gorillas, they also think it's another gorilla. Dolphins are able to recognize their own reflection in the mirror. How the scientists have figured this out, I haven't checked all the details. But he's saying that you think that the spiritual master can't even recognize the reflection of something? No, he knows that this material world is just a reflection of the spiritual world. So by understanding the mechanics of how things work in the spiritual world, the Hadini, Samvit, and Sandhini Shakti, then automatically one can understand the Rajas, Sattva, and Tamagun of this material world. They mask it, though. Even practitioners of Krishna consciousness who are victimized by compromising their philosophical understanding to line up with values that are antithetical to Krishna consciousness, they mask this statement that Guru doesn't understand the material world, that the Shastra has limited applicability. It's applicable in spiritual life, but what it says about the material world is wrong. And we have to accept what modern science says. This victimized misunderstanding, it has to be couched in a language that looks like devotional service so that they can remain as part of a society of devotees. So they'll say, instead of outright saying that the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra doesn't know anything about this material world and that their understanding is limited. Instead, they say that their understanding is beyond this material world. And therefore, something, they have to make up some kind of excuse. But it's a misunderstanding. And it leads this, the acceptance of portions of the Vedas and portions of things which are against the Vedas is why we get things like people saying that Prabhupada was a product of his times. He was raised in the turn of the century by a Bengali family, and what he says often reflects the attitudes of Victorian British Raj education. This is all offensive. To see the spiritual master, the pure devotee, materially is offensive. Can you understand that? Any doubt?
No, seeing the material means what? Seeing the material means...
To think that the spiritual master is some... like an ordinary person.
Yeah.
Yet, even though the spiritual master's knowledge is perfect both materially and spiritually, he's not supposed to be all cognizant. Like, he's not...
That is correct.
Be
only
able
God...
to how to fix your car necessarily, or... you know,
okay, that's two separate things, actually.
Well, I mean, like,
they're both good. They're both good, and we're going to deal with both of them. One, he's not all cognizant. Actually, that's a fact. Only God is all cognizant. No jiva is all
cognizant. What does cognizant mean exactly?
He's all knowing.
Yeah, all knowing of every material detail.
Of anything. Of all anything.
Spiritual as well.
Only Krishna. That's why Krishna is a samardhava. Mm-hmm. He's unequal and unsurpassed by anyone. No one's knowledge can equal Krishna's knowledge. We have limited knowledge, even in perfection. Now, even if the spiritual master may know about engineering or something like that, that doesn't mean he's obliged to teach you about it. Any more than Krishna, who knows everything, he may not... See, people pray to God, and they say that God didn't answer my prayer. But even the Christians sometimes can come back on that one very easily and say, he did answer your prayer. The answer was no. The answer can be no, because God isn't your servant. So the spiritual master doesn't have to talk about whatever you want him to talk about. That's another material, that's another danger of seeing the spiritual master materially, because you think that my material qualification is actually better than his, and so he should be my servant. I keep a spiritual master like a pet dog. One time, Satsarupa Maharaj was remembering that a devotee had come and was telling some pastimes. He was a god, brother. Who was also a spiritual master. And he was telling some pastimes about the Lord. And Maharaj asked him, in a friendly way, can you tell another pastime? But the godbrother felt kind of bad, actually. That it was just like he was being used like a record player. So, one should include, it's good that we want to hear Harikatha from the devotees, but one should also be sensitive that the spiritual master is a person. And one should speak in such a way that he feels honored and great, and appreciated. So we hear in Bhagavatam many times when the devotees ask these great souls to narrate, they say, if it pleases you, please speak. Because they're sensitive. to the needs, the spirit. You can say needs, or you can say the desires, or the of the other person. Sensitivity. It's a sign of affection when you care about how somebody else feels. Maybe they want to discuss something else. Or maybe they want to take prasadam. And there's nothing wrong with that. So being sensitive in that is one of the points I wanted to share, and I hope it's clear. I hope it's... is it okay?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah? Okay. So the spiritual master is the ship. The captain of the ship. He can guide us out of this ocean of birth and death. A ship without a captain is lost at sea. You may have a very nice ship, but if it's caught in the Bermuda Triangle, then your only hope is a very competent captain. Hare Krishna. So I've been overtime, actually.
I just want to give an example. How is the reflection of spiritual world, the reflection of the spiritual material is a reflection? Give me the example. I know the tree in front of the river. You can see the river, the image of the river, the water. But give me an example.
Just the opposite. The material world, the spiritual world is eternal, full of knowledge, and full of bliss.
Bliss, yeah.
Sat, chit, ananda. The material world is temporary, asat. Ignorant, achit, miserable, near ananda. So, if you look at a graph with an x-axis, you have a point here. You have a plane. And then you have a point at the opposite location. This is 1x. Then what will this opposite point be?
Negative
1x. Right?
Yes.
So it's just the opposite. Satchitananda, asat, achit, Nirananda. Also, in terms of rasa, so that's tattva. Now in terms of rasa, there are these five primary rasas with Krishna. Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. In the spiritual world, the highest thing is Madhurya Rasa, because it includes all the others, right? The love of the gopis is the highest love of Krishna. We all aspire for that service to the servant, of the servant of the gopis. But in the material world, this romantic, conjugal love, so-called love, is the lowest thing. It's the lowest thing. It's the most... If a politician or some other public figure cheats on his taxes, yes, he'll be punished. But if he has an affair, it'll be a big scandal. Because it's such a... In the material world, it's such a terrible thing. This lust. Nitya Vairanam. It's the eternal enemy in this material world. All-consuming material enemy of this world. Eternal enemy of this world. It leads to anger. Kama Dinam. From kama comes all the other anarthas in this material world. So kama is the lowest thing in this material world, but prema is the highest thing in the spiritual world. So it's just the opposite. In this way, we can understand that it's a reflection. Is that okay?
Yeah. My understanding is, you have aeroplane in this material world, but in the same, in the spiritual world, like a similar kind, but it's different, it works in a different way.
That's also there. Everything here is a reflection of something there. They have Pushpa Vimana airplanes that fly based on mantra. But that was also here in this material world in previous ages. They had these Vimanas due to mantra power.
It seems to me that one interesting thing you see here, one phenomenon you see, that is seems to be a way jivas try to feel like Krishna is to paint the face white and put on certain kinds of makeup. It really does seem like a reflection of Krishna. You see it from like rock bands like Chris, like Kiss,
yeah.
Like these black metal bands, where you even see it in like ancient Japanese culture or ancient English culture, or not ancient, but old English culture.
Italian also.
All kinds, you see it in all the different kinds of cultures and subcultures. And it just, to me, it really, I look at Krishna's white face with the dark features and things and the marks on his face. Like, that's why humans do that. Because they want to feel like Krishna.
Yeah, my mother made this similar observation. Have you ever heard of the Rocky Horror Picture
Show? Yeah, Rocky Horror Picture Show.
My mother was saying that when she started coming to the temple, she saw Krishna and she had a similar realization. That's why I liked Frankenfurter.
Wow, she had that realization? I've never heard anyone else say that.
Yeah, my mom shared that with me.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
It's one of my favorite observations.
Very nice, thank you. So, anything else? Everything okay?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.